As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. Cowboys presser tomorrow at 11:30. They're going to preview the draft. So let's look forward to what is to come here over the next, what are we looking at now, 75 hours? 75 hours till our draft coverage is underway with you boys on Thursday night.
Yeah.
We're going to be at all the Pluckers locations across DFW. Come join us and watch the picks be announced. We'll have a giveaway for every pick possible there on night one. Hopefully the Cowboys do something amazing at 12. All righty. But the press conference tomorrow, a fresh batch of audio and thoughts from Jerry, from Steven, from Will McClay, and from Schottenheimer. You know, you could approach this a lot of ways. I just hope when it's done, they have something that is elite. You know, maybe that's two elite wide receivers that you can hang your hat on. Like, wow, good luck stopping the Cowboys like you're trying to stop the Bengals wide receivers or something like that, or the Eagles, you know. Or you could go corner, and when Diggs is back, all of a sudden you could have three really good corners if you hit there. You could go defensive line, like the this guy at Georgia that they went to look at. If you have that in Osa and Overshown and Parsons, you could really raise hell, you know. I just think it's important that you nail this pick at 12, and at 44 as well. But, you know, just 3 days from this deal, what do you guys expect to be on the board when we get to, what is that going to be, Thursday about 8:30 or so?
I'm not really expecting Teteroa McMillan to be available the closer we get to this thing. And honestly, he's a guy that should be a top 10 pick anyway. You know, the slide that he kind of went on really from the combine on, that was puzzling and very, very odd, because the tape is tremendous. And even the 40 time that he ran is comparable to other receivers in the league, like Mike Evans, for example, that have gone on to have terrific careers. So it is interesting. Matthew Golden, like, if Ted ends up going to the Raiders, does Golden end up going higher? Like, do other teams see Golden kind of the same way as other people do? Or, I mean, does that push him up the board? I do think Golden will be there at 12. I think the question just is, do they actually like him that much, or do they want to go with an offensive lineman instead, or does a Jalen Walker from Georgia slide?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of spots here. The more that we kind of progress through this, working to the draft and get to the days where on that Thursday, I think there's a couple of spots now that we need to think about with Walker, who you looked at, Dawson, the edge linebacker from Georgia. I feel like he's a guy that they would absolutely consider, that we're not really talking about nearly enough. But he's looking at right now Carolina at 8 and then New Orleans at 9. So that might take you out of that, where the question is going to be, do they feel good enough about a corner over Golden or an offensive tackle over Golden?
You don't think they go right guard?
It could be Tyler Booker.
They brought Booker in as one of the 30 visit guys. And we've all kind of talked about in our times that, like, listen, hey, we love Brock Hoffman, but do we love Brock Hoffman for 17 games? You know, do we love TJ Bass? Yeah, we do, but do we love him for 17 games? I think to me that's a big question there. So, yeah, could Booker be a guy in consideration at 12? Absolutely. But like I say, it's going to be, do they like this player, this position more than what Golden can bring? I think that's the questions that we need to kind of figure out.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different options there. You know,
If McMillan's not there.
5-6 different guys. That's if McMillan's not there.
If McMillan's there,
I believe he'll be the pick. If he's not there, there's reasons for them to take Golden, but on their stack, and I'm kind of hearing some whispers, they've got 12 names.
12 first-rounders?
12 first-round names. So, you know, try and do the math, try and figure out, do they have four wide receivers? Do they have three wide receivers? How many wide receivers do they have? Do they have a corner? Where do they have Hunter?
So it's going to be really easy for the Cowboys unless there's multiple first-round grade guys left.
Yeah.
They're going to take the one that's left from.
Yeah. I think so. And so if that's the case, but is their last guy, you know, is he the...
But it's your belief they really like McMillan?
Yeah. No, absolutely they do.
Do you believe they would take Genty if he's there?
Oh, absolutely they would, yeah.
I don't see any way Genty's out of the top six.
How much do they like the offensive lineman that might be there?
Well, I think to me that's when you look at, I think Simmons is high on their list. They think that Campbell would be the next, and then Mimbu, I think, would be the three.
And Mimbu, it sounds like, is a lock to go in the top 10 now.
Yeah.
But there's a chance.
But Jacksonville at 5 aren't in love with Campbell or Mimbu.
Yeah.
Where they're picking.
New England at 4, I think, is going to take, possibly could go lineman. The Jets like Campbell at 7.
I wouldn't be surprised. This is just me. I wouldn't be surprised if New England at 4 took Genty.
I think their offense was so bad last year, there's no way you could go defense here and be like, we're going to be good with Dak, a poor right guard, a developing left tackle, and a running back here, you know, that's not blue chip. You could say we can win with defense, but that offense was offensive at times last year. It's insufficient to even be carried by an elite defense.
I think to me, then if it was up to me, I would look at Simmons from Alabama first, then I would look at McMillan next. Is if that's how I would play it. Just on my stack. Yeah.
Well, it's exciting. You know, the 12th overall pick is a place, you know, where you can absolutely find playmakers and stars. And I don't know if faith in the Cowboys is high overall when it comes to the draft, or if it should be based on how the last 2 years have gone. But when they pick this high, they rarely miss. Okay, Nico Presser 2 hours ago. What was the moment that stuck out to you guys? Maybe you were listening at 877-881-1053. The one drawing the most headlines. I did know Luka was important to the fan base. I didn't know quite to this level, was the quote from Harrison. I do feel like, you know, this is his last year. The story that we got earlier today was that Patrick DeMont might have started to realize what had happened. And, you know, the closed media event from last week might have been Patrick DeMont's decision to essentially make Harrison do that, to try to create some closure before this press conference. But Nico said, you know, that that didn't come together the way that they wanted to. He says it fell flat and we didn't do a good enough job.
Yeah, appreciated the self-awareness on that. But overall, I mean, at one point he says the words, unfortunately, I'm super stubborn, so someone telling me to do something doesn't work out too well for me. One of those statements where you're like, okay, yeah, that explains plenty. Him not having an understanding of just how important Luka was to the city and to the franchise is no surprise, because he made the move. And he's ousted guys like Dirk as well. So that's not really a surprise. And then I just thought it was funny. I think it was Isaac Harris who just asked him as one of like the first questions of the entire thing is like, why shouldn't you be fired?
That's what I took. Yeah. Yeah. When he was asked that, that's the one that
just
got
put
my,
it out there.
Yeah, got
now,
my,
why shouldn't
that,
you?
That was probably the best moments of the press conference was these just absolute fastballs firing at his head.
Yeah. The thing about it started off kind of as a nice question. And then at the end it was, why should you have a job? Why shouldn't you be fired? And so, I thought that was, I do believe this. He is going to have this year, and that if they can't live up to the lofty expectations that he believes this team should have, then he should submit his own resignation, if that's the case. Or Patrick Dumont should ask for it,
If
in fact the Mavs are a play-in team again, don't even make the playoffs, then Nico Harrison should know there should never – there should not be a question. You built this whole premise on being better next year and competing for championships. And if you're not, then you need to be let go.
It's just embarrassing how blind he is to how flimsy his roster is. He keeps talking about how like if we have all these guys healthy, we're a championship team. And it's like this is no surprise that Kyrie with an extra workload ended up getting hurt at this age. There's no surprise anytime Anthony Davis has to go to the locker room or limp off to the bench. So to think that this has any sustainability is just, it's incompetent.
You don't find that suspicious.
And that's why I think he'll never resign, because he'll never be able to admit to himself how bad this was, because you would have to admit, I made the worst trade. I'm an idiot.
No, he'll be blaming injuries forever about how it didn't work out.
He's stubborn. And he's not one stubborn individual. Took a nuclear bomb and just blew it over the Dallas Mavericks.
But the great news is, and maybe I just glossed over it earlier, Patrick Dumont knows now. And we needed this to happen. This could have gone on for the next 5 years with Dumont and Harrison in their own insulated bubble of denial.
Mm-hmm.
Dumont's already out. As the story from Tim Cato, All City Dallas today, those team sources consistently express belief that Dumont no longer sees Harrison as a figure with irreproachable basketball expertise.
Mm-hmm.
Those same sources say it had some influence over Dumont's decision to make Harrison appear for last week's closed media event, which Harrison did not want to participate. It really plays to me like, or seems to me like, Dumont has realized that he's like, okay, you got to go own it, right? You got to go try to go clean this up, have fun with that, and then you'll get an off season. And if it doesn't work out, then we're going to be going in a different direction. And like I said last hour, hopefully this is a point where Dumont can say, all right, I can't trust GMs like this anymore. Next time a big trade comes to my desk, I'm going to have other trusted people I can go to as advisors.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I got to educate myself so I can't be sold a bill of goods without being able to critically think about it myself.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I should go to Mark Cuban and ask him, how did you figure it out? You know, what do I do to try to get on the level of other NBA GMs so I'm not constantly at a disadvantage when it comes to trying to evaluate personnel decisions? You know, and that's what being a successful sports owner is all about. You either want to, you know, admit I know jack squat and have a board of advisors that you can call at a moment's notice to try to check up on if your guys are right or wrong, or actually do what Mark Cuban did and try to become as smart, you know. And it really worked well for Mark until he got so interested by all of his, you know, venture capital, health insurance, crypto ventures, and whatever else that he got into from Shark Tank over the years. But overall, I thought it was very interesting today. You not only had Tim Cato, but Tim McMahon and the Morning News writing about, hey, here comes a Nico press conference, and this dude is starting to look like he's on the ropes a little bit.
Mm.
So today, like as he's out there, sure, he's in denial, and sure, what he said was annoying. Like the entire time I was listening to it, I was like, he's just rehashing and giving slightly different explanations for the same crap. But it's what's happening in the background and what was written today on the internet and in the local paper about the way that the ownership group now sees Nico that gives us a path out.
Mm-hmm.
And that path out has to be, if this doesn't work, we got to trade Kyrie and AD before they get to, what, 34, 33? Whatever trade value they have right now is not as high as what it was 3 months ago when they were playing and healthy. Can we get them back playing and healthy and either be like, okay, we're going for the championship, And if we win it, we're blowing it up, or just blow it up next February. You don't have control of any of your draft picks from 2027 through 2030. And that's the real terrifying thing. Like, it's one thing if you trade away my best player. Okay, we suck now, right? We're going back into the lottery. We can hope to get the next transcendent star.
You go full Oklahoma City after they lost all their parts, but we've collected a ridiculous amount of picks, and then we will find a way to dig ourselves out of this with a bunch of lottery picks, picking in the top five.
Yeah.
But the Mavericks aren't even set up for that, which is why this could be a disaster. And they're not going to punt on, like, next trade deadline. I don't think they're not going to break it down then, because you will have just gotten the return of Kyrie Irving, and that'll be them saying, okay, this is the team that we envisioned. They're going to get a full season. And then this time next year, we can be talking about perhaps blowing it up.
Perhaps. Yeah, that's probably the most likely realistic timeline. We also have to talk about where does Jason Kidd fit in all this?
Well, he was apparently frustrated by, like, dude, I just built this entire team around Luka. Now all of a sudden you're going to pull the plug on that. And now we got to circumvent the way we go about doing things, as I find out about this ridiculous trade at the 11th hour. So you're finding out that Dumont and ownership are now trying to distance themselves from Nico. And I don't think Jason Kidd is super fond with the trade from the beginning, and then just all the fallout since. So you have all those things playing. And then the fact that, too, like, we thought Nico was just, I mean, you could tell he's a bit of a bleep hole with the tone deafness and all those different things, but it felt like just incompetence at a high level. But when you get the Casey Smith story,
golly,
yeah, where you guys are at the Hall just of Fame, Dirk Nowitzki stuff, and then everything seems fine, you get back and Casey Smith is going to Florida or wherever to be with his mom, who is deathly ill. And so you set up a Zoom meeting and fire him that way.
Yeah.
A guy who is beloved in the organization, and not only just a trainer, but is now he's an executive in the organization. He's beloved by everyone, one of the best in the world at what he does. And Nico felt threatened by him because he was the guy that was stepping up saying, like, this Christian Wood trade.
Yeah.
He was like, dude, we can't be doing this. This guy is like a cancer in the locker room. That's going to be a disaster. And Nico right there was like, you know what? Okay. Remember, he's stubborn. I'm not going to be told what to do. Mm-hmm. So Casey Smith, be gone. Even if it's, you know, even if you're at your mom's deathbed, and I'm breaking this news to you over Zoom after 20 years in the organization.
Yeah, maybe we should have known then. You know, I thought it was real curious, and it was suspicious that all of a sudden Casey Smith, who was so beloved by everybody and had done such a great job. But I mean, until recently in this story, Nico thinks that they upgraded at trainer. You can't upgrade, you know?
Dude, and then you find out the guys that you have in there don't even like each other, because you hired the understudy before you hired the guy who's running the whole thing. So those guys have a bunch of differences. Like, that's one of the biggest things from the article, is just how much of a disaster class their training staff is right now, because they're not even on the same page.
Yeah.
Which shows up on the floor.
And one of those guys isn't even fully credentialed in the up to NBA standards to be an NBA trainer.
Mm. Billsborough. He's a glorified cheerleader, is what Tim McMahon wrote in the article.
Yeah, the Tim McMahon piece is an incredible. Lots of very interesting things revealed today, including the words resented was the term that Cato used to describe how Jason Kidd looks at the trade. You know, he resents the fact that this trade was made, and, you know, now we have to wonder if this is all going to cost you Kidd, who I don't know how much credit to give to Kidd and how much to give to the players, but when they were in playoff series where it looked like they were done, they had the game-to-game adjustments like I've never seen, you know?
Yeah.
They would go from being outmatched to all of a sudden they had all the answers to the test, and certainly part of that is Luka and the great roster that Nico helped put together, but you don't make those kind of moves in postseason series that turn a series on its head after being down 2-0. Unless you're a really damn good coach. So that's where we are. Where are we headed next? I think it's a lot more interesting now than it was on Friday, because we know Kidd hates it, right? So maybe he can go talk to the owners about, hey, we really screwed up. And we know that Dumont is now, you know, looking annoyed at Nico. All right, C-Notes coming up next. Cowboys news of the evening with just a couple of days to go until the draft. What is the expectation around the league about the last-minute homework the Cowboys are doing? We'll discuss that and more with you coming up next here, the G-Bag Nation.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan, and we are excited about draft week. It's Thursday night here on The Fan. Our Path to Draft coverage is brought to you by Pluckers. Join us at all the DFW Pluckers locations for a draft night party where we have a great contest, been doing it for years. And y'all win prizes and drink specials while we watch the draft together. Segment here of The Nation is your Cowboys news of the evening. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's also brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online, frankelfirm.com. They only get paid when you win. There's no out-of-pocket cost. Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys here in Dallas. We're only about 15 minutes away from Brian's Krusty's Corner, so looking forward to that. Also looking forward to the pre-draft press conference tomorrow at 11:30. What do you think they're going to have in that for us, Brian? Do they give anything away? They give anything good away? Are they going to tell us what they're looking at tomorrow? Jerry can't help himself.
Yeah, Jerry might flash the big board.
Yeah, he usually does that after night one.
Yeah, you never know what Jerry's going to do. So it depends. You know, the questions could be really the questions can draw him into some things that maybe he doesn't want to talk about. I'm sure Steven and Will are going to be on point, making sure, hey, Jerry, don't talk about this, and Steven will try to laugh some things off, but a lot of it really does depend on the question. I think Jerry Jones has a hard time not telling the truth on this stuff. If you take him a certain direction, he'll give you an idea of maybe where those players do sit on their board.
Like those Nico Harrison-style questions to be flying at the Cowboys' heads tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes those Cowboys reporters like to lecture the rest of the media on how you interview Jerry Jones. I think the Mavs reporters just gave a clinic right there. Yeah. That was outstanding. But let me ask you about this quote that's gone viral today. Offensive line guru Duke Manyweather.
Yeah.
He is he's a guy who works locally and works with some of the best offensive linemen in college and the NFL. He was asked on Twitter about Tyler Guyton, Cowboys' second-year offensive tackle. How will he perform next season? He says, honestly, don't know.
Yeah,
he's got a lot to figure out to take the leap. That's up to him, in all capitals. I like how he's putting it on him and says it almost like he's saying, listen, guy's got all the talent in the world. It's up to him. I can't tell you what he's going to do with it.
There's some questions about maturity, and now I have questions whether Duke is still working with him. You know, maybe.
Yeah, I can't imagine that he is, because Duke is usually going to bat for the guys that he's helping along.
And if there's things that need to be figured out, then, you know, Duke, I was talking with Duke this weekend, though, just kind of, you know, he was trying to kind of educate some folks on what was going on. And then you had people that were like, well, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. And I'm like, bro, you can't win. You know, you just can't win doing this. So, you know, it sounded like that kind of opinion. Maybe that he's not working with Guyton anymore. That's kind of what I think.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. But
he's okay with that. You know,
it could also be good coaching. Like maybe he's told Guyton that same message. Well, you know, and so he's just being consistent with it in the public. I don't know.
The questions. There was a lot of things that we were talking about during the season that, you know, that we were hearing that he needed to be more mature and take things more seriously.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay. We just got news here from the 214. There might be some Tiff's treats downstairs. And that would be insane, 214. Salute to you if that's true.
Post Lent, man. Okay. That's a good call.
That sounds like just what the doctor ordered right about now. But to me, if Duke Manyweather is saying that, it is saying that, you know, it's just not pointing good out the guy has not reached his potential. How are you looking at Tyler Guyton going into this draft right here? I would think, can't count on you. Like the measurables, you need to grow up. This might take till you're 27. You're only 23 right now. So I need to build my team with developing you in mind, you know. But I can't also rely on you right now. We got an aging quarterback here. We got to run the ball better. You know, when our quarterback gets good left tackle play, like we saw from Tyron Smith from time to time over the last 5 years, you're looking at an MVP candidate. The moment we take away good left tackle play, we get troubling interception totals. So I can't risk it. You know, that's how I'm going into this. And if a player is there at 12 that can be an immediate upgrade and give me a chance of having a good left tackle for the next decade, I'll develop Guyton. Maybe I put him at right tackle when Steele's contract is over. Maybe he's just a swing tackle for his career. And if he's really good, and then we have an excess of him, maybe we could trade him. But I can't go forward without a left tackle here with Dak at this point in his career.
Well, that's what I would be. If I'm the Cowboys, they know better than anybody. So if you've got doubts on if this guy's going to be putting in the work and the commitment right now, and you have the opportunity to take a Justin Simmons out of Ohio State at 12, I'm absolutely working the phones, and I would try and get ahead of and move it. Even if that means I'm sacrificing, this is a guy that I drafted in the first round. The value's not going to improve if, one, he's out there playing and doesn't play well. And then, two, what do teams think if it's like, okay, I'm just not going to play him? That means, obviously, you don't think he's very good. So maybe there was a team that had a high grade on him just a year ago. And if you end up drafting a dude who's going to start at left tackle for you at 12, I mean, I think when you look at some of the other GMs in football, being able to say I made a mistake and quickly reacting to that, could I get an extra third round pick, which is going to help me maybe get a runner or a corner this year or a defensive lineman? I'd be looking to try and do that.
That would be interesting. Could you get a three right now for Guyton?
I don't know what the value is, but I would ask. I would call.
I think I'd be interested in a four, but I'm also interested in just having him on the team because he's tall and he's strong.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not quitting on the guy. I mean,
growing up happens, you know, and you never know what's, you know, maybe he gets worried about the career's going to be over next summer and just absolutely turns into beast mode. You don't know. So I wouldn't want to be giving him away, but, you know, the trade possibility is there. But more than that, I don't know how many years of Dak I have left. And I know that when he gets hurt or has to try to escape from pressure, the likelihood of injury goes up significantly. Okay. Meanwhile, speaking of first-round picks, we go to SI here. Cowboys still suffering from most haunting first-round NFL draft flop. They're not talking Guyton. They're talking about Mazi Smith. Where are you guys with the big run-stopping defensive tackle going into this draft? Do they need to get another one? And what's the latest you could do it and still get an upgrade over Mazi?
Well, there's some information getting out now about some of the health of some of these defensive tackles with these one techniques. And so we are going to need to really dive in and see what how this might shake out. And Collins from Texas was a guy that we've talked about maybe as a defensive tackle, one technique that maybe you'd have to pick at 44. There's some things medically you're going to have to deal with there. Harmon from Oregon, similar things that you're going to have to deal with him as well when it comes to medical. If you see a couple of guys sliding, both those defensive tackles, you'll know why, that the teams have some questions about their medical that's not great right now.
So I did some digging on Harmon, and at least from Oregon, the word is it's the weight. It's the weight with him. So he came out, like if you watch the Boise State game, that actually does show up on film. One of the first games of the season, he was not the same player. So he came out overweight, was a little bit sluggish. The body then is not bouncing back and recovering as quickly. They just need to make sure you monitor and get his weight where it needs to be, because he definitely got better as the season went. But he's a guy you might need to watch out for. Does he show up to training camp over 345 pounds? And we've got an issue here.
But I do think the need for an upgrade over Mazi Smith is one of the biggest priorities in this draft, because your defense can only be so good if your guy's getting pushed to the first down yellow marker. That's Mazi Smith. Yeah. I mean, he had a couple of better games, but we're grading on a huge curve, and it was not sustainable throughout the rest of the season. It was like Brock Hoffman. Hey, man, you popped up a couple of times versus weaker opponents. Cool. But that's not a guy that you can depend on as a starter. And Mazi Smith isn't that either. So they have got to find a way to upgrade that.
Seems like some games he was sufficient, like it was the division rival games.
He was actually, those were his best games, but the games where he was playing against the other opponents, he wasn't as consistent.
Well, that's unfortunate. I don't know how much you prioritize that right now, considering they have need to at other spots. But you're not going to be really great at stopping the run until you have a great one of those. Daniel Jeremiah talking Cowboys draft plan says the word around the league in his circle is they've done a lot of work on the interior offensive linemen. We've talked about some of their candidates at 12. Does it stretch into the second, third round? Like if you're thinking right guard or if you're thinking center, can they find plug and play on day two and beyond? Or do we need to get that guy at 12 if there's going to be an offensive line upgrade, Brian?
Well, you know, to me, it kind of drops off. And you know, I'm looking at it as, and I'll ask you this, Zach, do you think Donovan Jackson makes it to you at 44?
I would love it if he did. I don't.
Okay. If that's the case, and likely you're going to have Booker, Jackson, Gray Zabel, whether you play him at guard or center, is going to be off the board. Then it turns into some guys that are, I don't know if necessarily some plug and plays. You know, Marcus Mimbau, and then also, though, Milam from West
Wyatt
Virginia.
Milam.
Yeah, and then Ratledge from Georgia, Frazier from LSU. I don't know. Jonah from Zona. Those are all kind of like fourth-round guys, third- and fourth-round guys. I don't know how much plug and play that you would get out of those guys myself. And then it kind of dips pretty good. I know you like Caleb Rogers from Texas Tech.
Well, the Cowboys did a lot of work on him. Yeah, Caleb Rogers. Yeah. Luke Kandra, the guard out of Cincinnati, would be another guy I like quite a bit in the fifth round range.
Yeah, I had him at 202 on my board myself.
Path to Draft coverage brought to you by Pluckers. Night one is Thursday. Round two and three on Friday. And then your day three extravaganza there with 4, 5, 6, and 7. And, of course, Brian Broaddus, Zach Wolchuk, DallasCowboys.com crew going to be dominating all 3 days, and we absolutely cannot wait for it. Okay. Now, Brian, what's coming up next?
Yeah, I've got a mock draft from a friend of the program, and I'm interested if Zach really believes this could happen. We'll do that next.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com. Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. It's time for Brian Broaddus and Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Thank you very much to Reliant for being a part of this as well. I thought this was this time of year you get some interesting mock drafts, of course. The closer we get, the final ones, I think, are the best ones. When somebody says, okay, this is say 4.0 or 3.0, whatever they say, that's the one. The other ones, I think, in the media, folks are just moving players around to try and just create buzz. So if you're following along somebody who does mock drafts, I'm going to say just take the last one as being the one that they did the most research on. They're not trying to mess with it. They're really trying to get those picks right. So, but I want to talk about a guy who's a friend of the program who did a mock draft. And I think it's a guy who knows your team pretty well. It's John Owning.
Oh, John.
John Owning from Pro Football Focus did a mock draft. And everybody was assigned a team. And John just happened to be assigned the Dallas Cowboys, which he follows quite extensively. Wouldn't you say that there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. John knows.
John knows your football team. And we've talked to John a bunch about the Cowboys, and John's really done a really nice job of you know, giving his opinion on that. But I want to run through this, Zach, and from your notes and what you think. And I want to point out a couple of players he might have passed on and see if John missed the boat on this one, if
okay,
I could.
Okay.
All right. With the 12th pick, though, John, he, and this is with Ashton Jeanty on the board. With Jeanty on the board at 12, he took Emeka Ebuka from Ohio State. Now, McMillan was gone before, but with Jeanty on the board, he went ahead and went with Ebuka. And what happened was the Dolphins at 13 right behind you took Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah.
Possibility of that one?
Look, I'd be advocating for Ebuka at 12 right now if Tet was gone.
Sure.
I've got Ebuka right behind Tet and then Golden. That's how I have the receivers ranked. So I would be fighting for Emeka Ebuka. But you, the first thing in the Brian Broaddus draft 101 school is don't window dress your board.
Sure.
And if I've got Ashton Jeanty as the third best player in the draft,
sure,
I'm not passing him at 12 for a guy that I've got as the 12th best player in the draft.
Right. I'm with you on that, and I appreciate you listening. With the 44th pick, the Dallas Cowboys select Braden Swinson, edge from LSU.
Ooh-hoo.
And his reasoning is, with DeMarcus Lawrence's departure, the Cowboys need to find an edge to complement Micah Parsons. Swinson's 22% pass rush win rate in 2024, which ranked in the 97th percentile, suggests he could be perfect Robin to Parsons' Batman on the edge.
I love that pick. And at 44, I'm not sure exactly who else could have been there, but I think Swinson's one of these guys that you talk about just natural bend. The first step quickness, relentless pursuit. He's never quitting on plays. And he had 13 sacks, 8.5, 12 quarterback hurries, and 13 sacks last year. So I think he's a dude that is an absolute stud that's ascending. Now, he's an LSU Tiger,
yeah,
so I'm sure you know him well, rallies to the ball in the run game. I love him. And in terms of a pass rusher, if you can't get a guy like Mike Green in the first round, mm-hmm, who would be my top guy for Marshall, in the second round to get a guy like Braden Swinson, 6'4", 250, yeah, him and Micah would be a lot of fun together.
Do you have him in the second round on your board?
I put him in the third.
I do too. So that would be rich for me at 44. At 76, he's got Alfred Collins. We've talked about Alfred Collins and some of the defensive tackles,
yeah,
and some of the issues that, like I said, I don't know if John knows completely all the things that Alfred Collins is dealing with right now, but at 76, I think that would be a really, really good pick.
I'd love it. I mean, I've got Collins in the second, but you're right. Some of the injury stuff that we don't know about, could that end up knocking him down? But I'm a huge fan of Alfred Collins' game out of Texas, and if you want somebody that's going to be helpful against the run,
yeah,
he certainly is that player.
He's absolutely very helpful against the run, but again, we'll have to check on those injuries and stuff. I just want to make a point, though, at 77, he had New England taking Dylan Sampson from Tennessee. So he passed on a runner.
So he doesn't have Cowboys going running back at all, day one or two.
Yeah, he doesn't. He does not. So even at 12, and then he doesn't have it at 44 or 76. So he's kind of taking the Eric Chiafalo approach here. He's going to wait till the fifth round to try and get one of these running backs, is what he's going to do.
Just got
to
hope some of them slide. I mean, maybe you can get lucky and a Taj Brooks hangs around there for you out of Texas Tech.
Yeah. He's a grunter.
As at 83 is the Pittsburgh Steelers. R.J. Harvey went off the board, okay? So now you've lost Sampson and Harvey on my board. Those would be like two third-round guys. Those are two guys that I would have absolutely considered at 76. I might have considered Collins before I knew everything at 44,
mm-hmm,
instead of Swinson, but here we are. At 149, he's taken Breshard Smith.
There you go.
From SMU.
Yeah, you got yourself a runner there. And Breshard Smith, converted wide receiver. Locally, I'm sure people know him a lot. He transferred from Miami, played 35 games there, was second team All-ACC. Can also return for you. But the quick cuts, super elusive in the open field, really good receiving back. I mean, that translates. Yeah. He could be the Tyrone Tracy Jr. type player that Giants were able to get in the fifth that was a converted wide receiver, played a year at running back. I mean, the ceiling is really, really high for Breshard Smith. 5'10", 194. The size is there. Angles are exceptional with him. He's not the most physical runner. He's definitely a guy that is not going to necessarily run over you.
Yeah, he's a wide receiver playing running back.
He's difficult to tackle, man. Yeah. He really, really is. Yeah.
At 174, they take Denzel Burke, the corner from Ohio State.
I think that's a steal, don't you?
I absolutely think this is one of the – I think this would be a great pick. This guy right here is a guy that plays a lot of zone coverage. He could play nickel. You could put him inside. He gets his hands on a lot of passes. He doesn't have great deep speed, but the lateral agility, the ability to stay with people and stuff, it's just a problem when they go vertical on him. But carrying routes and things like that, I was pretty impressed. At 174, this guy could plug in and play your nickel for no problem at all.
Played a ton of big games, and he's a strong tackler as well.
At pick 204, he's on a roll here. He takes linebacker Teddy Buchanan from Cal. This is a pick you got from the Detroit Lions, by the way. I think Teddy Buchanan's more like a third-round player, and to grab him at 204.
Yeah.
What do you like about Teddy Buchanan?
I mean, he's definitely, I guess we're going pet cats in the draft. He's one of mine. I mean, this guy at 6'2", you can't watch him. Like, even when you're trying to watch other players there at Cal, it's just Teddy Buchanan that you notice. He just makes every single tackle. Sideline to sideline speed. I think he's good in zone coverage. He's just smooth. The way that he's able to cover ground in a hurry. I love Teddy Buchanan. He does, and it could be the hair. But he does give me just the way that he plays and makes every tackle. It's Eric Kendricks.
Very much of like an Eric Kendricks player. And this guy can cover really, really well, too. So when you start to put him in some situations, he can make some plays that way. At 211, he takes Jarquez Hunter, the running back from Auburn.
Okay, so now you got a good 1-2 punch here because Hunter is what Rashard Smith lacks. Hunter is, I'm going to move the pile. I'm going to bully through you. Maybe doesn't have the most elusiveness in the open field. The speed's not a huge problem with him either, but that's a nice tandem right there, Smith and Hunter, to double down in the second day if you don't end up taking running backs on days one or two.
Yeah, so you feel good about the situation of passing those guys.
I like that pairing.
To get the player. I do too. I think it's a good pairing, but I just wanted to be known that like I say, Samson was one of my favorite guys from Tennessee. So, but Hunter and Smith are all right as well. At pick 217, he takes Holland Pierce, the tackle from Rutgers. I don't know.
I saw that guy get undressed basically every rep at the Shrine Bowl. He's top heavy.
He doesn't move his feet.
He doesn't move it well at all. I mean, look, you're talking about a flyer where I'm just taking a dude who's a massive human being. But if there's a guy like Issei Pohl out of Washington State.
Sure.
Who I think could be a swing tackle.
Much better pass sets and stuff like that.
I'm not a huge Holland Pierce guy.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan there at 217 either. That's a pick you got from the Tennessee Titans. Just to give you an idea, pick 228, the Lions. This pick came from the Cowboys, by the way. They took Ollie Gordon, running back from Oklahoma State.
Okay. I mean, so that's even later than I've got him going.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've got...
Would you have taken Ollie Gordon before Smith, or would you have taken him before Hunter?
I would have taken... I've got Smith ahead of Gordon. I think I've got Gordon and Hunter both in the fifth round. I was a little soured by watching Ollie Gordon. He just looked a little stiff to me.
Yeah.
But I think he is a bigger back that if you can get what he was 2 years ago when he clearly trusted his offensive line more, I'd probably go Gordon over Hunter.
At 239, the Cowboys, this is a pick they got via the Packers. They're going to take safety Jordan Hancock from Ohio State.
That's a good value, too. And you need yourself a safety. I mean, Jordan Hancock is a physical specimen from Ohio State. So that's certainly, I mean, you take these Buckeyes, man. You've got Ransom is another guy that they've got that's pretty damn good that should go way higher than that. I mean, I'm surprised that he's fallen.
Yeah, I am, too. I think this kid makes a lot of plays. I think he's super tough too, but
really tough.
To get him at 239, I think is an absolute steal. And then at the last pick at 247 for the Cowboys, this is a pick through Kansas City, edge Johnny Walker Jr. from Missouri.
Yeah, so we exchanged edge rushers there. So Swinson was a guy that John told me about, and then I told him about Johnny Walker Jr.
Yeah.
And both of them are big fans. I don't know how much the Cowboys like Johnny Walker Jr. I think there's a sense like, this is a guy that isn't super powerful, doesn't set the edge.
Yeah.
But as a pass rush specialist, I absolutely love him.
What the traits did you like? Because that's usually what you're hunting right
there. Yeah, it's the bend with him. He fires off the ball. He's able to dip and get underneath offensive tackles. He's just very difficult to get hands on, and he keeps his chest clean.
Yeah, the pick that we seem to have the most problem with, though, is the 217 then with the Hollis.
I wouldn't take Pierce personally.
And then you were also okay though. With Swenson at 44?
It was a little high. I mean, that's probably the only one that I don't think he got great value for, but you might have to. I mean, teams value that. They covet the traits that Swenson has.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Brian. Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning every day at 340 here on The Fan. Chris Young Show's coming up at 420. We're talking hockey with Eddie Olczyk next in The Nation.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill it deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.